And I told us yesterday that a pattern is a methodology, a predefined pathway that leads to a predictable outcome. Please listen carefully. That a pattern is a predefined pathway that leads to a predictable outcome. Our world today is able to run the way it is because of the power of patterns. Every time you pick your phone and you dial the number, the moment you press send or call, you have initiated a pattern. In other words, a pattern that can connect you to a call. And under normal circumstances, it will always work. We travel from one region to the other because a pattern was built in our vehicles that make them move. A pattern of aerodynamics was built in the aircraft that move us from one region to the other. I jokingly challenged us yesterday. I asked our women here, I said, how many of you can guarantee that every time we ask you to cook, you are sure that the food will come out and experience that it will last? Some of you boldly tell your hands. Some of us don't have that kind of confidence to use our hands. We are not exactly sure. We hope to see what happens as you cook. Praise the name of the Lord. But others with confidence that can always be mistaken as proud, lifted your hands. Because cooking for you has come because you have mastered a pattern. Am I right? And every time you cook using that pattern, that formula, the outcome is already, you know it from the beginning that this is what you are about. Hallelujah. There's no woman who has been involved in cooking that cooks and then she's surprised that the food becomes nice. She's only grateful, but not surprised. Because the patterns bring predictability. Hallelujah. So number one, God has called and ordained us into the life of glory. But number two, God is a God of patterns. The manifestation of the glory of God in my life and your life is pattern dependent. To the degree to which we discover and walk in keeping with the patterns that are allotted for the various dimensions of glory, that is the degree to which the glory of God will emanate in our lives. I did take out time to define glory yesterday, and I want to talk a bit on that again as a way of recap. I told you, generally speaking, that the glory of a thing is an attempt to describe all the features and the quality in that object or that person that makes that person valuable or desirable. Are we together? So when we talk about the glory of a thing, you have to investigate the various components in that object or that person that makes that person worthy of worship, worthy of admiration. The glory of a phone is in exploring all the features of that phone. What in the phone makes the phone that expensive? What in the phone makes the phone that desirable? So when we talk about the glory of God, we cannot truly understand the glory of God until we take our time to investigate all the attributes of God. The glory of God is a summation of all the attributes of God that makes him God. His goodness, his favor, his power, his wisdom. Are we together now? Yes. So glory is not just one generic expression, maybe like wisdom. All of these things are components of the glory of God. Moses said, show me your glory. And God replied, he said, I will let my goodness to pass by. That is one aspect of his glory. His mercy is an aspect of his glory. His favor is an aspect of his glory. His only strength is an aspect of his glory. His only potence, the ability to know all things. His only presence, his ability to be everywhere. All these are various components of God that makes God God. Are we together? So when we talk about the glory of God finding expression in a man, we now refer to a state where an individual, through alignment and conformity, have gotten to a point where all of these attributes aforementioned now begins to find expression in experience in your life. So we begin to see a dimension of wisdom, a dimension of favor, all the things that can only be found in God, we now see at work in an ordinary man. And at the end of that, if your life fully emanates the glory of God, the end of it is that praise must come to God because your life becomes so exceptional. You see that now? Yes. What manner of man is this, Jesus? he was said about Jesus, when he walked in the flesh as the Word incarnate, he filled the stones, he multiplied bread, he manifested the glory of the Father in many ways, and they looked at him at a point and said, what manner of man is this? In other words, we are men too, and we are still men, but we have not seen this kind of human being. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And this is the destiny of every believer, because Jesus, the Bible says, as he is, he says, so are we. That means my life and your life should be a perpetual revelation of the glory of God. In fact, the apostle calls it living epistles. You know what that means? You are a walking Bible. That if somebody closes his Bible at home, you become the opening, the continuation of his Bible study. That when people look at your life, they can learn God by studying you. They can look at God and say, truly, God can lead men. They can look at your life and say, truly, God can bless men. You see, truly, let me tell you, the believer's life was never supposed to be ordinary. This has nothing to do with being a preacher. It has nothing to do with being a man of God. Every time we talk about an exceptional life for a believer, the only template we have in our minds are men of God who are doing well. We just feel these ones well, usually are content. But that's not the case. Everyone, he says, I am the children that the Lord has given me. We are, not I am, we are. All of us together, we are for signs and we are for wonders in Israel. Do you believe that? If you said 3:10, we consider that yesterday Paul was speaking and he says to the intent that now all the principalities and powers might be made known by the church, the multifaceted, magnificent wisdom of God. So the assignment is to bring us to a point where we realize that the manifestation of the glory of God is at the mercy of the alignment of the believer. In fact, the Bible says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters the sea. That means something about my life and something about your life should be a display of the glory of God. That anybody who doubts whether there is a God in heaven, God needs to just reflect them to your life and say, study this believer as the verification that I am alive. Are we together? When we come to testify, what are we doing? Testimony is an expression of the manifest hand of God. It's an extension of the revelation of His glory. So when a woman says, I have been barren for 10 years, 20 years, and now God has given me kids, she's not just holding to me to baby. That is the manifestation of something God can do. That is why at the end of it, you can leave your seat and stand up, you can cry, you can wave your hands and say, truly, glory be to God. Because now God has been able to use his vessel to reveal his glory. The first miracle that was recorded in Scripture, according to John's synoptic account, is found in John chapter 2. Don't turn there just for your learning. It's called the wedding in Cana. So there was a place called the Cana of Galilee. And the Bible tells us Jesus had not even become his ministry by that time, that he was a priest just like our gathering like this, and wine finished. Are we Bible students? And the Bible says that now, you know, the embarrassment was imminent, and the people were roaming around wondering what to do. And they spotted Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the crowd, and they walked to her. They said, listen, there is a problem like this. She led them to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, my time has not yet come. But Mary now encouraged them and said, listen, whatever he tells you to do. And Jesus said, okay, let me provide for you. He said, go out and fill six vessels. And when they did, he said, fetch that water and be on your way to the rulers. Go and start them. Can you imagine that risk? Fetching water and walking to the rulers, the emissary, the chairman of the occasion, and telling them, I just brought one and they taste it and it's water. Those days they did not counsel you, they will hang you and kill you immediately. There was no long discussion for complicating the situation in the feast by now bringing this kind of embarrassment. And the Bible says, when they fetched it, as they began to move, that water turned to wine. Am I right with that? And when the rulers took it, they said, what if you are not nice people? From the beginning, you gave us rubbish, and after we are filled, we are now bringing that wine. The Bible ends in verse 11 by saying, this beginning of miracles, that's where I'm going to. this Jesus and manifested forth his glory. Is that in your Bible? This beginning of miracles, did Jesus and manifested forth his glory. And the Bible says the disciples believed on him. So that miracle was not just a showman, it was a manifestation of God's glory. In one other instance, I think that should be John 9 or Luke 9, one of the synoptic accounts, they found a man who was born blind, was crippled, born blind, I think. Who seen that this man was born blind? Asked, was it his father or himself? And Jesus said, neither, but that the glory of God might be revealed. It's not what I'm talking about. So that is very important. So, one, God desires every believer to be an effulgent in manifestation of his glory. Number two, the glory of God is pattern dependent. Now, let me just talk a bit about that. I did tell us yesterday that every dimension of the glory of God has a pattern that leads to the peace of God. That means if you want to see the glory of God revealed as beautiful, let me have your attention. You don't just sit down and claim glory. No, believers are experts in claiming things. It is not a very wise approach. It's not responsible Christianity. Responsible Christianity brings the believer to a position where you realize that at every time to experience any kingdom outcome in your life, it will always be a partnership between the believer and God. It is never all up to God. And it is never about all to the believer. Are we together now? It's very, very important. Jesus is about to heal a man, and he puts clay in his eyes and says, you take the responsibility and go to a pool course alone and go and wash there. How do you tell a blind man to go to a pool course alone? Because God will always demand action on the part of the believer. Believing that God will do everything without your active participation is irresponsibility. Are we together? Because God made us free moral agents, and our participation is proof that we believe Him, and then it gives Him that allowance to make manifest His power in our lives. If you believe what I've said, so far, say amen. So, for instance, you want speed in your life. Speed is a dimension of God's glory. And speed is a possibility in the kingdom that every believer can experience. But just claiming speed will lead you to frustration. Are we together? You now have to go to scripture. Is it just me? You have to go to scripture. So you see, the Bible, this Bible that you carry, is a compendium of the various pathways that lead to different dimensions of God's glory. Various pathways. If I want speed in my life, as an expression of God's glory, I need to go and start from scripture. Who experienced peace in the Bible? And what happened? What was the business of that man with God that translated into a life of peace? For instance, the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Is that in your Bible? He said, and he ran on their feet. Can you imagine? And overtook the chariots of Ahab down to Jesus. Another example of speed was that Jesus was speaking and the disciples went on their journey. They were 6 hours ahead of him, and Jesus got up from the place of prayer and walked on water and met them. So we know from scripture that speed is a possibility. But what are the principles connected to speed? We see Elijah was a man of prayer. Jesus submitted himself to prayer. Now I see that prayer is one of the ingredients. Are you seeing it now? You now bring prayer as one of the ingredients that controls peace as a manifestation of the grace of God. Another is the prophetic by this time tomorrow. A nation that had exhausted their economic options and it was clear that they were going to die of famine. A prophet stands and within 24 hours makes a decree, and that's the end of it. Or I want to see the manifestation of God's glory revealed as restoration in my life. I have lost things, for instance. I have lost people, for instance. And I want that restored. Is that a possibility in the Bible? The Bible says that I will restore to you the years. Is that true? God can restore years. God can restore things. But how does it happen? Just any restoration will leave you a frustrated believer. Like many people are now. Many believers have found the truth written in the scripture, but they've not been able to walk in it because understanding the pattern that controls that manifestation of glory has largely not been taught believers. So you lose money, maybe it's from business or something. As a believer, there is always hope for you, but how does that restoration come? You now go back to the Bible. Who lost what in the Bible and now you need to turn? Number one, the axe head that floated. Allah's master for it was gone. How did you come back? The prophet said, don't worry. The prophet is what is responsible for restoration. He said, let's tell it. And with prophetic direction, are we together now? The axe head floated. How about the wife of the sons of the prophet? Who she was going, her husband was going, they died, most likely of frustration. Are we together? And the predators are come to take out his children, representing her future. Can you imagine that? The woman went quickly to the prophet and he said, what do you have in your house? The prophet is always responsible for restoration. That means if you lose things, what you need to do is to find a way of bringing the prophetic within your environment. And that declaration of giving is genuine, prophetic, authentic, prophetic. It cannot become the basis of your restoration. Oh, I want the glory of God revealed in my life as spiritual power. I want authentic, genuine, anointing spiritual power. Go back to the scripture. Who became powerful in the Bible? Who once was not powerful? The apostles. Ordinary fishermen, ordinary men, they later became men of power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, speaking about these men, it says that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says great grace was upon them all. So what transcended ordinary naive men, largely teachers of men, and men who were about their business, what kind of transition evolved them to become men and women of power? The first thing we learn from their lives is that getting genuine spiritual power does not happen overnight. It took them a period of 3.5 years of a combination of sound mentorship. Are we together? Sound mentorship, periodic supervision, and then an impartation. You want authentic power is beyond just bringing a handkerchief and oil. That is wonderful. But you are never genuinely anointed that way. The first basis for being anointed is that your mind and your spiritual understanding must be enlightened. Because when the vessel is small, it will make the oil look small. So you expand the vessel because the oil will always assume the shape and the size of the vessel. Are we together? So, Apostle, I want to become a mighty man of God. I want the glory of God to flow through my life. Follow the pathway of the apostles. 3.5 years of daily constructive mentorship. He began his training, teaching them what they call the Beatitudes, helping them to understand the ways of the kingdom. Then he gave them room to ask him questions. They followed him for his crusades. They watched the wonder-working power of Jesus. They had to leave many things that they were doing. Are we together? Many times they were confused. Having taught them for a few years, he sent them 2 by 2. He sent them 7 by 7. They returned back rejoicing and saying, even the demons were subject to us in your name. He said, don't get carried away, but still students, let's continue our lectures. And the discussion continued. They ran away from him. These men have been with him for 3.5 years, and in 3 days they ran away. All of them, Peter himself. Remember the one who said, I will not do any well with you? He ran away himself. Then Jesus tells them how to talk to them. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord. The Bible says, suddenly there was a sound that came from heaven and filled the room, and they saw what looked like cloven tongues as a fire. It came and rested upon each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and that was the beginning of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the church, to the the point that these men became so powerful, they would stand and get beautiful Peter and John going to pray the hour of prayer. They saw a man who had been crippled. I hope you know that even when they were disciples, that man had been there a long time. They remembered him and said, "No more, we are people of power now." He said, "Look on us. Silver and gold we do not have, but such have I had." The question is, at what point did he have it? Such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was staring at them. And you know the guy that used to pray, how many years have you been praying? He said, "No, I'm different now. Something has happened." He held his hand and lifted him, and the Bible says, "He healed him." Most times, we do not get Bible results because we do not follow Bible pathways. We invent our own ways and hope that God will just fill it with power or fill it with anointing. Something is better. We need a fellow. We turn them my way. We want to follow the way of Jesus. We want to enter the rest. Will you show me a champion? Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the steps of Jesus. We want to enter the rest. The things that are written aforetime, the Bible says, they are for our learning, so that these patience and the comfort of Scripture might bring them. That means everything you read in this Bible is not a lie. Let God be true and all that liars. But whether what is written here will find expression in your life depends on your understanding the patterns of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. Now let's go to today's teaching. Everything we have discussed was just a recap. Whenever I talk, we will pray. I just felt to talk about a thing today on the subject of grace, connecting with our teaching, since we are talking about grace and growth. What is the grace of God? You've heard that word, grace. And I think believers have largely not had a thorough understanding of the concept of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Please read and give it to us. 15, 10. I'd like us to read together when we have it projected. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Will it be projected? Okay, thank you. Let's read. Ready? 1, 2, 3. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Stop. Look at it again. How did I become? By the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul is speaking now. But he says, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than he, or yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So we see clearly from this scripture that the grace of God is the principal factor behind the transition of men to become men of power. When you see a man that is greatly anointed, a man who is greatly used by God, you usually think he's a very anointed man, but this man carries grace. So we know subconsciously that grace is behind every unusual manifestation in the kingdom. And you are correct at that. Are we together? Let me show you one more scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8 and 9. Especially when you are immediate or immediate. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," Paul is praying now, "that it might depart from me," verse 9. "And he said unto me," so Paul, the thorn in his flesh, he was praying that God would take it away. And here's how God replies to man, who feels insufficient. Here's how God replies to a man who feels incapacitated. Here's how God replies to a man who desires more. He says, my grace, hallelujah, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. That means within the understanding of my grace is your sufficiency. You know what sufficiency is? Sufficiency is the capacity to always rise to the occasion, never disappoint you. Hallelujah. I am what I am by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's right. The grace of God, in simple terms, is His supernatural empowerment within and upon a believer. The grace of God refers to His supernatural empowerment within and upon the believer. His supernatural empowerment within and upon the believer. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. When we talk about the grace of God, we're talking about His supernatural empowerment within and upon a believer. And it grants you access to a plethora of possibilities in the kingdom. There are many things. Now, the grace of God, generically speaking, just for your understanding, I consider the grace of God as a warehouse. Look at this. A warehouse where God keeps every possibility that He has. And that from that warehouse you can draw out all that is required for life and for godliness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is the definition of grace. All blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, the wisdom of God is actually the grace of God. The power of God is the grace of God. The mercy of God is the grace of God. Every attribute of God, like His glory, that flows to the believer, routed to the office of the Christ, is called grace. When it has to do with grace, it is exclusively the office of Christ that is the sole administrator, are we together now, of the grace of God. So there is no other way of accessing the grace of God outside of the office of the Christ. Paul says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But when it has to do with grace, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is exclusively within the office of the Christ, as far as the administration of grace is concerned. So, let me just give us a basic understanding and we'll pray. Now, there are two kinds of graces that the Bible teaches. And please, I want you to get this. If you do not understand this, your Christian experience will swing like a pendulum from one imbalance to the other. It's brought a lot of trouble in the body of Christ trying to understand and explain the concept of grace. You will hear different concepts from one extreme to the other, and both extremes are not necessarily wrong. They are just incomplete. Are we together? I am attempting now by this expressions to give us a holistic capture of God's idea of grace. So the Bible teaches us that there are two kinds of grace. Number one, very briefly, is called saving grace. Please write it down. The first dimension of grace as revealed in Scripture is called saving grace. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Saving grace. Titus 2 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Is that one? Please look for it for me, or is it 11? I think I missed one. 11, huh? The grace of God. Please correct it for us, media. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace that God what? grace of God that brings this correction to and verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to whom? Now, Jesus said three things. Number one, that there is a dimension of grace that brings salvation, and that grace appeared to how many men? So, when it has to do with accepting that grace, all men are qualified. Provided you believe the report of the law, that grace is able to administer salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation. There's no time to describe how this grace works, because when it has to do with this dimension of grace, man does not play any active role except to believe. That's it. Are we together? The entire work that administers that grace was done by Jesus alone. The entire span of his constitutional sacrifice, from his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation at the right hand of the Father. No man assisted him in dying. No man assisted him in defeating hell, Satan, and the grave. He resurrected by the power of God. Are we together? Yes. So, the only thing we do is to believe that message. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Saving grace. Now, the mistake in the body of Christ is that most people believe that this is the only dimension of grace. So, when we talk about this dimension of grace, man does not do anything. All that you do is to receive by faith. And the moment you receive by faith, eternal life, that life of God, is imparted into your spirit. It is the grace that brings salvation, and it appears to all men. All men, it is the believers. In fact, without that grace, you cannot become a believer. Because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Are we together? Unfortunately, respectfully so, or unfortunately, many believers have lived irresponsible Christian lives and have not been able to come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, because our theology pegs at this dimension of grace. And so, from this kind of understanding, when I speak in knowledge in the body of Christ, my experience is to help us become people of stature, even in this conference. So, we translate this theology of grace to now imagine that the believer has no responsibility again. Everything has been done, yours is just to receive. You are right when you are speaking about the saving grace. But when you are talking of the dynamics of manifesting and becoming, no sense. It is the reason why many believers do not become people of maturity and stature. So, they do not know that there is a pathway that demands the active participation of that believer. Not everything in the kingdom is a gift. Salvation is a gift, but there are many other things that are rewards. You are intelligent enough to know that a reward is not a gift. If I give you a gift, that gift does not depend on your state. It depends on my perception of you and my will. Am I right? I can give a criminal a gift. It does not have anything to do with him. But a reward is a product of diligence. Are we together? Do you not know that the same God who gives gifts to all men is also called the rewarder? Is that in the Bible? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must come believing that he is, he exists, and then he is the rewarder of not all men, of them that diligently. So there is a relationship between diligence and reward. Even in heaven, there are seven rewards according to scripture, seven kinds of crowns that will be given to believers. Not all believers will have the same thing. It's in your Bible. There is the Christ's crown, there is the Matthias crown. Salvation is for all men, but reward is not for all men. In the parable of the talent, Matthew 25, my Bible says he gave unto one, five. He gave unto one, two. He gave unto one, one, not according to his love for them, according to their several abilities. At the end of that story, you will see that he was right to have distributed them. Listen, if you do not understand this, your Christian experience may be very, very, you will experience a lot of frustration. So people keep saying things like, God, if it's true that you died for all men, you've given us all things, why is my life like this? Financially, I'm down. Every other thing, why it looks like you prefer others to me, it is because they have not understood the second dimension of grace that I want to show you now. It's called enabling grace. Write it down, please. The second dimension of grace is called enabling grace. E-N-A-B-L-I-N-G. Enabling grace. Enabling grace. What is that kind of grace and how does it work? Now, the first dimension of grace does not demand anything on your part except believing. Listen carefully. The second dimension of grace demands you doing, but the strength does not come from you. The action comes from you, but the strength to do does not come from you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, I can do all things if I give it to us. Is God helping somebody? Philippians 4:13. Please look up. Let's read the first three words. The first three words. Ready? One, two, three. One more time. No, no, no. Just the first three words. One, two, three. One more time. Who can do? Not Paul. Paul is speaking and saying, I can do. I can do. There is a responsibility. There is an action. But the strengthening does not come from me. It comes from Christ. It's a great word, Christmas. The anointing, there is an increasing that comes upon me. But I do. When Samson, an example of a man who used the enabling grace in the Bible, was a man called Samson. He was an ordinary man. The fighting to defeat the Philistines was done by him, but the power to defeat the counterfeit as a single man did not come from him. How do you get that? You need to understand this. It's called enabling grace. So that enabling grace comes upon your business. You will do the buying and selling, but the supernatural resource is not from you. Are we together now? Yes. When the enabling grace comes upon you as a parent, you will do the training of the children, but the extraordinary amplification of resource. But then there is an act of a demand from you. Saving grace, enabling grace. Now, the second, let me give you one more difference. Saving grace is one, and when it happens, that's it. But enabling grace can grow. Saving grace does not grow. But enabling grace can grow. So when he says grace and peace will multiply unto you, saving grace does not grow. Once you are saved, you believe in Jesus Christ. But enabling grace grows. That means you can have different levels of that grace. And it is knowledge dependent. It's not a lecture. That the enabling grace that comes upon you is knowledge dependent. That means you can see two people. They are all saved. They encounter the same grace. But the possibilities that they command differ because that grace that peace comes through knowledge. There is something you can know that creates an ascendance for you in the spirit. And you are able to operate at a higher frequency of grace. Is someone ready? So enabling grace is knowledge dependent. It grows through knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 to 4. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How?
Through the knowledge.
And of God, our Jesus, our Lord. Now, read verse 3. According as His divine power, the same grace now, has given us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness, for that true knowledge. the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue. I like the next verse. It says, wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through flesh. So the Bible tells us that grace and peace, the enabling grace, we will receive Jesus Christ and then the salvation expires by the next day. No. You understand? Once you have saved, your salvation is valid. But knowledge, that enabling grace, you can have some of it. Ask chapter 2, they receive the Holy Ghost, the power of God came on them. Ask chapter 4, they receive the Holy Ghost again. Are we together now? To the point that they do need Jesus. You could see that transition happening to all the disciples. Enabling grace. Enabling grace. Enabling grace. So you can define the degree of the grace of God that you walk in by your appetite to partner with the Holy Spirit to knowledge and engage all the forces in the kingdom that are allocated for the manifestation of grace. For the purpose of our discussion, I will give you three keys. Can I give you three keys? Three keys very quickly that control the manifestation and the multiplication of grace. You walk this thing, I assure you and I guarantee you by the God of heaven that you will find your Christian life an adventure that will lead you forward. Three keys. Can I give you the first? Number one, the first key that controls the manifestation and the multiplication of grace in the life of the believer is the ministry of prayer. Write it down, please. The ministry of prayer. That when a believer submits himself strategically to the ministry of prayer with understanding, most of what believers do is not prayer, unfortunately. It's a destination of spiritual energy that is largely in ignorance. The strength of prayer is knowledge, not energy that is designated. There is such a thing as praying amiss. And the Bible records it that an individual can be sincere and well intentioned. Listen to me. If your prayer is not God based, you are praying amiss. It does not matter the kind of energy you are dissipating. The moment your prayer is not God based, God, listen to me, God is touched by the feelings of our infirmity, but He only moves by His word. Your feelings do not move God to action. God Himself, Jesus Christ, has submitted Himself to His own word, that He has exalted His word even above His name. Are we together? So, we become emotional sentiments and say that I'm crying, I know God will save me from my tears, but questioning does not come that way. The Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundations of His soul. So, there are many believers who keep weeping up emotions and say, God, you are watching me go through this and you are not doing anything about it. How does Jesus, your Jesus, full of grace and truth, look at a man called Blind Bartimaeus passing through Jericho? Remember that story? And then, you don't know Jesus would have passed that man, the miracle worker, Jesus would have passed him and not felt guilty about it. So Jesus is walking, and there is a blind man, and the power to heal is with him, and there is nothing. The man calls on him. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. The people said, stop or don't disturb the master. I said, no, we are too quiet. You have eyes that are seen, me and blind. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus comes to him, and he asks him almost like asking, what should I do for you? I mean, look at this. You will call him pride. If Jesus goes to your uncle or your father or your mother and they begin that thing and said, what should I do for you? And the man, he said that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, that's fine. And that miracle happened. Same thing happened to the woman who was healed of the cure. Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus to raise his 12-year-old daughter who had just died. And there was a woman, 12 years old, with the issue of blood. That is the day that small girl was born. That was the day that woman's promise. They were all 12 years old. And he said, you are going to go and kill a 12-year-old girl, but I've been as an adult going to pay for 12 years. I won't let you pass me like this. If I may not touch the hand of this girl. It's not a learning now. This is very, very important for you to know and to understand. So God will always demand participation from believers. He will demand a show of responsibility. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, Jesus was teaching about the fig tree and he used it to teach us faith. He says, "Verily, verily, I tell you, what things soever ye desire." He says, when we pray, believe that thou receivest them and thou shalt have them. Hallelujah. Prayer is very powerful, but give me love, he said. Building up yourselves from your most holy faith. Jude 20, but just one verse. So Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But give me love. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, he says, pray in the Holy Ghost. You can prayer and evolve you from a weak you to a strong you. Prayer can evolve you from a teen you to a powerful you. You know how, as we teach in biology, how insects next and of course, from egg, larva, pupa, and adult, a believer can transition into these various spiritual states, and prayer is one of the platforms. The primary assignment of prayer, like we have heard it teach, is for your transformation. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29. The Bible says, and as he prayed, the Hebrew Jesus, he said, the fashion of his countenance were altered, and his raiment became white and glittering. When we pray, we are changed. When we pray, we are transformed. Show me a weak believer, submit that believer strategically to the ministry of systemic prayer. I show you a sign and a wonder in loving. Many believers do not pray. We pray sympathetic prayer, we pray faithless prayer, we pray amiss, and we pray religious prayers, and that is why it does not come with power. Because the Bible says that the fervent and the effectual prayer, take note of two expressions here. Fervent, number two, effectual. What makes prayer effectual? It is one compliance. The degree to which your prayer is what compliant is what makes it effectual. What makes your prayer fervent is that it comes from your heart. In fact, other expressions say that heartfelt. So your prayer is heartfelt, your prayer is effectual. If your prayer is not what compliant, crying out lamentations to heaven will only attract the mercy of God. But when you want God to act, there is a basis. Hallelujah. So the ministry of prayer, we're talking about the channels that help to relieve and to multiply the grace of God upon a man's life. Number two, very quickly, the second channel is the Word of God, investing in the Word of God, spiritual understanding. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. The scriptures are just read in my spirit. I believe that is true. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians, not 1 Samuel, Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that he might be filled with, number one, the knowledge of his will, number two, all wisdom, number three, spiritual understanding. This is Paul praying over the church in Colossae and expressing his desire that they may be filled with three components of the word. Number one, knowledge of the will of God. Containing the Word of God is the knowledge of His will. Number two, content in the Word of God is the manifestation of all wisdom. Number three, content in the Word of God is capacity for spiritual understanding. You see, it is not what you do in the kingdom that produces results. It is the understanding that backs what you do. The son of Sceva said, we are chosen by God. They were just speaking. It was a religious activity. The demons replied and said, Jesus, we know because of understanding. Paul, we know, but we do not know it. In other words, your action is not supported by understanding. So someone can take communion, but not by understanding. Someone can pray, but not by understanding. Someone can carry a seed, and what you are doing in the spirit is just donation, not giving. There is no spiritual transaction happening there because it was not about the money. This is the reason why, if you're a man of God here, listen, before you engage people in spiritual activities, you owe them to construct their understanding so that that action will come with faith. Are we together? There are people who can carry, for instance, a jar of oil and just anoint themselves and believe that by doing that they are anointed. No, it is your understanding that converts that process from nonsense or a spiritual activity. The same oil you are using is what someone is trying to empty. Are we together? It was not from a tree. So that oil itself does not anoint. It is your understanding that gives you for its empowerment. It's the reason why, respectfully speaking, our Christian activities are full of burdensome rituals that seldom carry power. Because you are more interested in the religiosity of the activity and not the understanding. So someone can carry a millionaire and come and drop it here. And you turn back to justice. And you ask him, what did you do? And the person says, I did. You gave God. What do you understand by you? There is no answer that we talk. Because the person does not have an understanding. Remember, people were giving us things and Jesus went to the basket and was not touched. It's not the money, and he saw a woman who came with understanding and dropped her mind and said, I found somebody in that church. Look at the ratio of giving to those who understood. One to all the men. We don't know how many people gave, but Jesus never commended them, but one woman came. Many things that we are doing, or you were just so praying in the morning, praying in the night, and you are just being religious. Understanding is powerful. The Bible says, then open to India for understanding that they might understand scripture. If any of you shall agree as such anything, how many of you have been around so many people around you? Yes, scripture is not. Because it's not just, the Bible says, if any of you shall agree as such anything, it shall be done. Is that not in your Bible? So why is it that you can be in trouble and yet you have a brother, a sister, and you cannot agree? Because number one, you don't even believe it. Number two, you lack, you don't even understand what Jesus is saying. Listen, by this conference, I am praying that God will grant you an appetite for spiritual understanding. And when you come back and with the determination of an archaeologist, you begin to start to scripture. Are we together? The basis for the things that you do, the actions that you take, no matter how well intentioned the actions are, if they are not sponsored by sufficient knowledge and understanding, they will fail to deliver as promised. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We can bring a sick body out here now, and you will be delivered. I have to give you the Bible to prove for the message. And lay your hands, and whatsoever that person is going to be healed. So did God lie? No. Interpreting every promise is understanding. Understanding is the new one that connects prophecies and manifestations. Promises and their manifestations. Is someone learning? So prayer and understanding of scripture. You must submit yourself to the learning of scripture. Submit yourself to the learning of scripture. Submit yourself to the learning of scripture. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Every time the devil comes, he deceives men by casting a spell of blindness upon their minds. Ephesians 4:18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their minds. Hallelujah. You want to write, you want to talk, it is going to be by revelation. Galatians 1 verse 2. I went up by revelation. I went up by revelation. We go up by revelation. We do not go up by sentiment. Galatians 2. I went up by revelation. You want to write in the spirit, you go up by revelation. How many of you know that the concept of traffic only happens when you are using vehicles? It only happens on the ground. In the air, there's no traffic. Once the plane leaves, nothing stops in the air till it arrives. But you can drive with speed, and at the junction, you just stop there. And may God help you that there are no cars left. May God help you that somebody else's car that is not your car. But just because the car is out on the road, it will affect you. You will remain there angry for your sin. You will complain, I may not be a truck. I may not be that the truck fell. Let it just be that the tire spoiled so that you can pick it up. But if that truck turns upside down and landed there, you will remain there forever. But not in the game. That is the reason why planes can fly. The journey from Abuja to Lagos is about 10 to 12 hours non-stop. And the same distance is 50 minutes exactly in the air. And can be faster depending on the aircraft you are using. What compresses 12 hours to 50 minutes is called speed. Speed, that level of speed is not possible on ground. It's only possible. So it says, come up here. You can ride higher. And don't, when you see people falling in destiny, don't be angry. It depends on the vehicle you are using. And what fair? Some are driving on ground. There are many ways to get to Lagos. You can trek. And most likely you die before you arrive. Or you will reach for a long time and be sick for a very, very long time. You can use what they call this bike that makes a lot of noise. Power bike. And hope that the backloads don't kill you. You can use a car, your boss, or your logistics, and hope that there will not be robbers on the road. Am I right on that? You can use even a long aircraft like this commercial and be patient until the time agreed by the airline. And if they speak it, you wait. You can have your own chapter that now gives you access to your own time. Then you can own the aircraft yourself and live it in the life where there is nobody. The possibilities are there, but they depend. This is how it is in the street. So when you find somebody in 1 year getting another better result of 20 years, it is a possibility. Come on, I went up by revelation. Something you can know can give you tremendous access to the spirit, to favor, to power, to wealth, to grace. Another person can be saving money respectfully speaking because he's hoping to buy land. And he will ask how much is the plot of land in Abuja, and they say, well, we can manage for 60 million, and the people want to collapse. How many lifetimes do you like to save that kind of money? And yet, another person will come and set the key to favor. According to Isaiah 44 and verse 3, it says they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their arms save them, but thou, O Lord. Are we together now? It says Isaiah 44 and verse 3, it was, I'm not sure to see that. But thy right hand and thy arm. Someone can come and say, sir, the Lord led me that I should give you 1 hectare of land. Now the person comes to say, I am a proud owner of a hectare of land. And he says, no, land is not fair. You are right. You define your possibilities based on the knowledge that you have. The importance of the grace and the glory of God upon your life. It's not just dependent on the love of God. It's dependent on your spiritual understanding. Apostle, everybody hates me. No. Something about your love understanding the ways of God is what is programming that possibility. The Bible says, this sign, I'm wrapping up now, this sign shall follow them that believe. Do you know what that means? That means there is always something following you as a report card to what you believe. You don't drive it by saying, go away. I can know what you believe by seeing what is following you. This sign, there are always signs that follow your believing. If I see failure, defeat, curse, yoke, temper rising and falling. It is not just that they were programmed by the devil. Don't think that the podcast, they are following what you believe. You don't drive them by saying, go away. You drive them by adopting a new mindset. So Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at the possibilities that follow Jesus as you walk with them. Healing, greatness, glory, splendor. The tribute collector came to him and asked him in one of his teachings, and he said, go to the sea and catch the first fish you catch, bring the coin out of his mouth and stop his neck so that the wind is in peace. The same that looks like I'm complaining that nobody likes me, maybe it's because I've missed every day somebody gives me what it is, including today. Why is that person not you? You need to be angry and say, I need to stop this myself through knowledge. The same law is written to all. It's because everybody is not my Christ now. Who was the Daniel's craftsman in Babylon that lifted him? Who was Joseph's craftsman in Egypt? No, it is what you know. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what I'm teaching? If you get angry in your spirit, you can begin to program. No, my life has had too much pain and reproach. I need to start reprogramming this that my mind becomes an exalted of God's glory. Apostle, I came from a bad background. Even Jesus Christ, Nathaniel, that can make me do come out of Nazareth. They know not like that when they understand the Bible says, they walk on in darkness and all the foundations of heaven are out of force. For instance, as a man of God, you are finding out that nobody wants to listen to you, and you are saying people don't like coming to my church. Now, I respect you and I love you, but can they come to your church and you give them quality communication of doctrine? Have you worked on yourself in that style? You are quoting scriptures that are wrong, you are not serious, you have not settled down to understand doctrine. If I ask you as a man of God, list for me the seven foundational pillars of the Christian faith, can you list it? If I ask you to break the Bible according to components, can you do it? If you're not doing those things that say, God is not stupid to send people to come and sit down and wait their time, they shout amen and go back with no results. He loves you, but he loves the people too. So if you are trusting that God brings membership, you study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, an intelligent man will not carry his wife and children and come to submit themselves under your leadership only to waste their time. No, religion is not supposed to turn intelligent men into fools. Are we together? There are many young men in this, and all they are chasing is anointing. No stability of doctrine, no intelligence, no precision in your communication. That's why you're suspected of being an analyst, because your approach is controversial, it's not more compliant, there is no intelligence in it. No, ladies and gentlemen, listen, there is a responsibility component to greatness. You are a man of God, and all you know is just the expression of scripture. That's wonderful. Do you not know that ministry is the composite of many things? There is administration, there is leadership, there is financial intelligence, there is emotional discipline. Which one do you not know? If businessmen come around your church, Jesus, can you talk to them? Or will you sit down and include individuals who will build their life and then come and waste their time? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. What manner of man is this? You must become such a man that people look at your life and there is an effulgent of the glory of God. It is not an impartation. Listen to me. Please listen. Dominion is not an impartation. Dominion is the result and effect of your comprehending the way of the King. Three things. Let's wrap up. One, prayer. Two, an intensive study of the word that translates to understanding. Because the Bible says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of it. Are you ready for the third key? The third key is called obedience. It's right. It is another word for faith. Many believers would like to call it faith. But faith in one word is obedience. Please say obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. Let me show you two scriptures. Job 36:11. Job 36:11. Let's pray together. One, two, three. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. One more time. If they obey and serve, obedience is a big deal in the spirit. Isaiah 1:19. Or let's look at Deuteronomy for sake of time. Deuteronomy 19:15, if you be willing and obedient, you shall do what? Let's look at it. Every land has good, but it was instructed to only deliver its good to those who are willing and obedient. There is pressure in every land. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Abuja as a place has been programmed to deliver good to certain people. It's a divine instruction. It will not disobey, but there is a certain kind of deliver it is looking for. And if that deliver is not you, you may never get the rule of the land. You can be in Abuja respectfully speaking for 10 years, 20 years, and never get the rule of the land. And a preacher steps in, and the land will give you answers. You know why? Here's the secret. It will be willing and obedient. Obedient to walk in keeping with the patterns, like I taught you. Obedient to walk in keeping with the principles, the modus operandi of the kingdom. The Bible says, you shall eat the good of the land. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's just read 1 and 2. The full text is from verse 1 to 12. But let's read 1 and 2. This was a strong admonishment. He says, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Is that in your Bible? It says to observe and to take note, not just to hear, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Did you know that many years ago I read this scripture and I believe what I read? I read the scripture from one small room and I believe it. That I shall be exalted above the nations of the earth. That the Bible is not lying. In obedience you can transmit. You know, respectfully speaking, when we live in a world where when people see those that God has helped to assume any position of greatness, people begin to bring words like you are lucky or you are fortunate or you are this. I tell you, all of that is nonsense. There are no lucky mistakes. Once you find the keys are ladders, they are lifts, they can lift you and transmit you to enviable destinies. That is our heritage in Christ. You shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth. It says, and all these blessings, how many of them? Prosperity, increase, influence, power, grace, the gift of men, all these blessings shall come to thee. Did they will look for it? If you are looking for it, you are already in error. You were never supposed to look for it. It was designed to be attracted to a certain kind of believer. I always say that success is not what you pursue. Success is what you attract by who you are becoming. You see? It's not just what you do. Your becoming is greater than your doing. You only do when you have become. The people that do know their God knowledge, they shall be, then they shall do. The people that do know, they shall be, then they shall do. If you are doing without knowing, you are wasting your time. If you are doing without being, you are wasting your time. Are we together? Yes. We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh, Yahweh. The Bible says, they look on to him and their faces were enlightened. There is no shame when you look at him. Listen, let me tell you something. God is speaking to someone. He sent you to this conference to let you know that you can begin to rewrite the narratives of your life. And I'm telling you, it does not take a long time. It is at the pace of your diligence. If you make up your mind to partner with the Holy Spirit, taking advantage of that enabling grace. You don't need to be afraid. Yours is to be prepared to obey. The power to obey will be released upon you. The prodigal son did not have the power to change himself, but he had the power to take action. He will not rest for himself, but he will take steps. Apostle, I want to become a man of God that brings glory to the name of the Lord. I want to become a businessman that writes, God has raised me to be a helper in my family. I have seen this in my dreams. I have seen it in my visions. Congratulations. But it will remain a dream until you take advantage of the grace of God. I am what I am now, you understand, by the grace of God. I am what I am as a creature by the grace of God. I am what I am, but it says this grace was not showered on me, in that I labor more than you all. That means the more I participated in obedience, the grace will be multiplied. As I woke up in the night while you were sleeping, and as you were studying, you were opening doors for grace to come. As you were buying the truth, as you were following their putting faith and patience and obtain the promise. Are we together now? It's the power of God. Apostle, I want the grace for healing to come upon me. Have you studied any material on healing? Do you understand the healing move of God upon the earth? Have you respected anybody carrying that grace? Or do you just want to assume that just by desire it will land on you and you will suddenly become a Christian woman or become an unrobot? It doesn't work that way. For you to become a professor in the university, there are references and materials and people that you study. Am I right on that? Yes. Even if the area where you are going to be given a PhD is an area that has not been explored, you will still make reference to other authorities within the entire field of study. Listen, our academic practice and even our diplomatic and professional practice will teach us how spiritual things work. We're going to pray. And grace and peace can be multiplied to men, turning ordinary men to be carriers of the glory of God. You've converged for this conference, many of us making tremendous sacrifices. Do not allow this conference to wrap up and then you go back and they ask you, how was the conference? Wow, wonderful. Preacher after preacher came. What happened to you? I laughed. I cried. I wrote a few notes and went back to my yesterday. At this conference, you should be able to wave your yesterday goodbye and say you have exhausted your community in your life. That is time for a new season. You can define your possibilities, define your realities. Let me recap on the three keys again. One, the ministry of prayer. You can pray yourself to become a transcendent version of Jesus. Two, you can submit yourself to learning by the truth. Get quality materials that are from people, men and women, who have done labor, sacrifice, and alignment, have found the keys that lead to the outcomes that you desire. And number three, now that you know these things, then happy are you if you do them. Knowledge without action will only lead you to spread. For the Bible declares, Paul speaking to the Hebrew church, he says, they heard the word just like we did, but the word did not profit them. He said, not being meeting is faith in them that heard it. He said, there remains a rest for the people of God, that today if you hear his voice, do not have in your heart like it was in the provocation of the wilderness. When you hear his voice, if it be thou, Peter said, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. You would have said, wow, intelligent. You are such a compassionate people. As you walk on the water, come and meet you. You got up and began to walk. And God's integrity was there. to back him. Because Jesus asked him to come, even when his faith was failing, he took the responsibility and helped him. I can tell you stories after stories. I'm not one who is a good storyteller. I don't like talking about my life a lot because sometimes people misunderstand it and cry. But the things that I'm sharing with you are not just Bible study materials. They are a testament of this understanding. I know what it means to accept the grace of God. I know what it means to be helped by God. That name Ebenezer, I understand it. That God can help a man. God can help men. God can place honor upon a man. That your life can become an exponent of the grace that is given to God. That your life becomes a Bible study manual. That someone looks at your life and begins to learn God layer after layer. This is what God desires. That at the end of it is not supposed to be to pride and all of this, but that it's humility. You project Christ in such a way. I want you to know that the world is depending on our definition of Jesus to them. The world will have to interpret Jesus through the lens of the believer's experience. Please listen carefully. The world will interpret Jesus from the lens of the believer's experience. If I present a lopsided Jesus, if I present a selfish Jesus, which now is a reflection of the gaps in my understanding of the kingdom, I will corrupt the understanding of a non-believer. There are many who have misrepresented Jesus in many ways because we have not had a holistic capture of the ways of God. So, if I use your life to interpret Jesus, will I not be saved? If I use your testimony to interpret Jesus, will I be saved? Can I see the excellency of the workings of God in your life? Is it alluring enough to bring me to Jesus to surrender? Look at the woman at the well. Last scripture. The Bible talks a lot about one woman who had five men in their life, in her life, the sixth not even being her husband. She did not tell him when to fetch water. And she leaves this stranger there, and then a discussion begins. Jesus began to reveal several things, and his precision and accuracy got her understand. And she said, I passed to you a prophet. Go and bring your husband. He said, no. Why can I not be? He said, well, I have five men, the sixth in my life is not even, you know. And Jesus came in at that seventh man. When Jesus was not talking to her, what would happen? The power that emanated, the glory of God, manifestation, grace, personified. The Bible says she left her fetcher, left the issue of water, that in the Bible, and ran to the city and called everybody. Say, it doesn't matter what you want to call me, call me a man who has told me everything I have done. How witness was so convincing. The people said, we know this woman. Let's find out. We cannot be joking. This level of confidence for this man. And the Bible said, when they came and they met Jesus, they never came because they believed in Jesus. They came because they believed in the woman who believed in Jesus. But when they met him and encountered him, they said, now we believe. Not because of her, we have seen for ourselves. That from this conference, in 1 week, God opens the door for you. Favor, increase, blessing, restoration, all in 1 week. Listen, that becomes too comfortable for anybody to say just coincidence. Someone will follow you. I was glad when they said unto me, there is always something that says, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Can I tell you, many people who come to church do not come because they believe in God. They believe in the witness of those who believe in God. But when they get there, and they are welcome on the stage, when they are welcome, when they sit down, then they encounter the God of the Bible. The Lord appears to Samuel and show even like this God. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is waiting for your witness, for the manifestation of the glory and the grace of God in your life, to reveal Jesus. And we're going to pray. As we step into this prayer session, 2 minutes and we're done, I want you to take the time to cry unto God. When I do ask you to stand, just listen to me. But when I ask you to stand and pray, please minimize looking around. This is take it as a destiny business. Some of you, while you are praying, the Lord will be bringing to your mind, like I said yesterday, nobody in your family has had the opportunity to hear what you are hearing. You are the one God is raising. Don't disappoint their expectation. God is counting on someone. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? That at the end of this conference, you can come and meet the organizers and say thank you. I sat down for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and that 1 week was the wisest investment in 2023 in my life. That I have submitted myself to strategic spiritual knowledge. Look what God has done in my life. Can I tell you, nobody argues with genuine word sponsor results. Word sponsor results. When the word of God sponsors your results, you will not hear it because there is longevity. So while you are seated, I want you to look at your life. What aspect of the glory of God is yet to find expression in your life? For some of you, you love the Lord with all your heart, but your finances is in a story thing. And let me challenge you before you lie to yourself that money is not important. Cast that spirit and that information, two of them, cast them out of your mind. Because if you ever tell yourself that financial resources are not important, you will marvel and wonder at the limitations it causes in your life. How about faith? If you drop ₦1 billion and you drop favor, I will give favor 1 million times and not even look at this. But by the time I'm leaving that place, you'll find ₦1 million doing it. You see? The favor of God is a mystery. I can spend weeks after weeks teaching you of the favor of God. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon thy soul. For the time to favor her will the set time is come. The reality of the times that we live today would require us accessing superior systems of advantage, I call them, because working by the natural course of things, there is no advantage in our world again. Sociologically speaking, are we together? And as we know, the price of things, as you know, right now you want to take a flight from here to, you can imagine, the flight to many places is the house rent of many places to live in the nation. How does an average individual who is spending $1 survive on that? Every other thing is growing, perhaps, except for income. Every other thing is good. And look, with all these things from depression, you see people talking to themselves while they're driving. You think they're on the road. They're talking by themselves. If they die, they go and hit a tree and die out of frustration. The Bible says, when you see that darkness, confusion upon you, the glory of the Lord will arise. Then it says, 10,000 come to your light and be a key to the brightness of your light. Can we arise and pray? God has ordained us to be vessels of glory. God has ordained us to be vessels of grace. Conduit, transmit us of His glory. I'd like you to lift your voice and begin to thank God for all that you have heard today. The hearing of faith is connected to the working of miracles. The hearing of faith is connected to the working of miracles. Someone is praying. Now, we do a few things very quickly. Number one is, I'm standing in faith with you. I want you to mention every area in your life, honestly speaking, where you have not seen the glory of God's expression. And I'd like you to insist that from this day forward, and in the name of Jesus, and on account of this conference, that the glory of God begins to find expression. Go ahead and pray. Mention that area. Is it your health? Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Is it your finances? Is it your spiritual life? Go ahead. And I desire to see a manifestation of the glory of God. I desire to see a manifestation of the power of God, the mighty man of God. God is praying. There are some of you who are here, who are sick in your body. Some of you oppressed by all kinds of satanic things. All of these things, sicknesses and the rest, they are structured in you. It's the manifestation of the glory of God in the life of a man. But you see, when Jesus comes, he never leaves people the way that he met them. No. There's no reason why you should walk back with that sickness, that criminal illness, that satanic oppression. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good, healing all of all things that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. For God was with him. In Matthew chapter 10, when you read verse 7, Jesus gave them a mandate, sending them two by two, and he said, as you go, preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8 says, you demonstrate the validity of that kingdom by healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, and he says, ensure that when you go, give freely, because you have received freely. Some of you may not be sick anybody, but there are all kinds of demonic hindrances. Paul said, I desire to come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hinders. Favor desire to come to you, rest desire to come to you, but Satan hinders. Are we together? And for some of you, what you need is that prophetic declaration by this time tomorrow to program a climate of favor and a climate of grace. My encouragement for you is within the next 5 minutes, drive unbelief from your life and believe Jesus for all that is necessary to make you become a vessel of glory indeed. Lay your hands on your body if you're trusting God for healing or you're striving for someone. I want to pray for you. You may not have the time to take testimonies, but I want you to start believing. Believe. Don't doubt, believe. The power of God is with you. And I believe among the many things that have happened here is a strong impartation. Somebody must carry a grace who did not come into this place. Let me pray. Make your hands to trust in God for a miracle. Some doctors report, whether for yourself or for your loved ones. I want you to believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone at the sound, under the influence of my voice, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I cast the spirit that is behind every infirmity. In the name of Jesus. I cast the spirit behind every infirmity. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. I'm seeing a lot of oppressed people. This is what I'm seeing in my vision. And I want to pray for you. When I begin to see the wind and the fire of God moving, then I know that someone's deliverance has come. I want to pray for you now. There are some of you who are under all kinds of satanic yokes. Your life has been trapped down. I want to release you right now. I was praying when I just thought that, and I just thought to minister that deliverance. Hallelujah. Lift your head. I want to pray for you. There is the lady and the gentleman. I just saw the power of God coming on two of them. Is this impartation that will begin the process of deliverance and the ministry of the Lord? I just saw fire. Bring the light. The lady and then the gentleman. Now I'll begin to pray. I'm going to declare the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to shout the name of Jesus, my God. I'm still trying to this place. There are all types of altars and roofs that will keep you alive. Thank you, Jesus. 1, 2, 3, shout the name of Jesus. And repeat that. Let them go now. Let them go now.
continue, you bring them. There's a reason why I ask that you bring them. You don't have to be an author, just tell them your invitation. I will be at this time. I will see faith on the hearts of people. I will see that in my position. That faith is broken now. That faith is broken now.
John, please make sure there's a lady wearing red. The power of God is coming on you. You are the man. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord is taking the news. Where is that lady? Bring her. She's wearing red. The power of God is coming on her. The Lord is asking you for a sign now. Please, John. What do you mean, sir? Huh? I want to pray for you. My dear, look at me. Where are you from? I want to pray for you that this yoke of darkness that has tied your family in the name of Jesus, I release you from it now. For the Bible says, now the Lord is that spirit. He says, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I prophesy to someone here that everything that has tied down your life and blessing is set free from it this morning. There are three people that have the word is coming upon you. You have dreams and all you see in a dead people. I want to separate whatever connects to the dead in the Apara Capital. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Oh, dead, where is your people? Oh, dead, listen. I declare the deliver now. So the Lord is asking me to pray for you that in the name of Jesus Christ, everything that makes you to speak good things and never handle them, you keep speaking things but your hand never handles them. I decree and declare, sir, please look at me. I'm looking at you, please don't be embarrassed. This shame and reproach that is on your life, the Lord is saying, I should prophesy to you that He's holding it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's someone right now who will shout from that they're not to love the hearing of everybody. Please bring that person out. I just saw that fire. In the name of Jesus Christ. Love to the hearing of everybody. The Lord Himself is bringing deliverance even for that family. I've seen someone, your father, I don't know if it's arthritis, but the man cannot walk. It's almost as if he's paralyzed. Who is that person? I want to pray for you. Where is he?
He's in the village.
Where is the village now?
He's here now.
I will pray for you. Do you believe in the power of God?
Yes.
Father, every time you reveal this for redemption, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes.
and see there are three people here. The call of God is mighty upon your life. And see a strong prophetic call. There is a gentleman here particularly. God has been working on you, but there is a mantle reaching for your life. And the Lord is telling me, pray for that grace to locate you. Wherever you are, I don't know where you don't have to go, I pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know where that gentleman is, I don't know where that lady is, but everyone is at the other. I ignite you, let the fire come upon your feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, we keep that place. I shall see. The eyes shall see. The ears shall hear. The eyes shall see. The ears shall hear. In the name of Jesus, your ministry will never be the same. I am telling you how to see. I am prepared to protect you from within your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. This man wearing white suit. This man. Are you a man of God? Huh? Where are you going? From God. From God. You came from God. Are you a minister? That's what I'm asking.
I'm an evangelist.
You are an evangelist. I want to pray for you. Listen to me. There is a mighty place that the Lord is asking you to pass upon you. I stretch my hands upon you in the name of Jesus Christ, like fire, like the two of heaven. And that man who rests on you, take that place in your hands. In the way of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is asking you to pray for someone. There is a spirit that is on your life. You keep going. You keep going right now. You are even embarrassed by how much you are going. And it's only God that will deliver you from what I'm saying. I want to pray for you. You see, the Spirit of God brings deliverance. They didn't come to some Pentecostal entertainment. Oh, I want you to believe. Take your mind away from whatever it is and believe. It says that by a prophet, the Lord God brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet they were preserved. Everyone here who is going, I call upon the God of my heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, God deliver. May God bless you. May God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I pray for everyone who is sick in your body right now. Every blood condition here, I'm seeing power coming on someone. I just mentioned blood condition. I don't know what I'm doing. This man will be all right. Take that place for me. Let God see the cleansing of your blood. Every single time we see you, change it now. You change it now. You change it now. You change it now. That is also to be healed. I trust that you be healed. All conditions be healed. In the name of Jesus. Everything that has not been planted by my Father, in the name of Jesus, I will root it out of your body. I will root it out of your body. God is showing someone you have time. You don't go to the hospital. The prayer does not stop you from going to the hospital. I think you need to go with what I'm saying. You may need medical attention. It is a very case of time. But in the name of Jesus, let the mercy of God rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here who has been trusting God for his soul, I don't care how God loves you. By the power that raised us from the dead, let us forgive all your loved ones and pour you into the time of life. We pour you into the time of life. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's someone the Lord is showing you. This is your father, this is your father. This is not your people, it's not more than and maybe a month or two. Is it your father? I'm seeing a man, and then I'm not seeing a man again. The Lord is asking you to pray and remove the spirit of untimely death, because we keep seeing dreams of death, even while we know God. What fellowship has the dead got to do with the living? I don't know who that person is, whether you're here falling online, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I pray that you pray. Every manifestation of death that is following you. In the name of Jesus, everyone trusting God for job. That God has just trusted God for promotion. Maybe by some sentiments they refuse to lead you to the place that is due. In the name of Jesus, the one who is by the power that raised Christ from the dead, I declare that everyone is in God for job here in my God's setting you now. In my God's setting you now. And every power of witchcraft connected to ancestry, connected to satanic possession, in the name of Jesus, I will remove it from your life now. I will remove it from your life now. By the power of the eternal covenant, I will remove it from your life now. In the name of Jesus. Now receive every prophecy that I give to you. Are coming from the Lord. Every door that has been closed over your destiny, I stand by the door before you and I pray for you. Keep going. Let that door be open now. Let that door be open now. I will see the door. 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 Be open now. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere you have tried and failed, you have tried and tried and failed. It's the matter we have toiled all night. Nevertheless, as I know, I empower you, return for people. Return for people. Return for people. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the key for Joseph and we brought him out of his culture. I want to know your destiny helpers by prophecy, whether in Abuja, in Lagos, in Nigeria, across the globe, everyone who has been ordained by God and of God to participate in your life, to see that the glory of God is living in your life, whether it's the God, the South, the East, and the West, and call them to appear your destiny. In the name that is above all names, whatever is making you want to stay in your mind, whatever is making for the completion that brings sorrow, brings financial stress and pain, in the name of Jesus, the creative ideas, the strategic connections, and access to the great, receive all this in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, blessed is the man that sheareth the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands, that his feet shall be mighty upon earth. It says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. I command wealth and riches to be in your house. I pray for your children, none of them is all by the way. Finally, let me speak favor upon your life. Then was when God raised them, desire to partner with your success, to see that you have an accelerated transition into the place of destiny. I declare and declare the kind of favor you have never seen. Let it rest upon you. 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 Everybody who you have been part of that life, whether like the right person, they forgot you and left you in the prison. Let the people of the deliverance be open. Let the people of the deliverance be open. In the name of Jesus. There's someone who has been struggling to look for a visa. You call and you did not get. You call and you did not get. The Lord is asking you to prophesy to you. I stand by the God who called me. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, return back and watch God's work. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to make an altar call all of you who are informed through your testimonies to remain permanent in Jesus' name. Please help me understand. Let's say in my movement. I believe in Jesus and I believe in salvation. I believe in the encounter with the Son of the living God. The Bible says that there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. It is impossible that in a gathering like this, that there will be none that was sent by God to encounter salvation. When it has to do with salvation, the grace of God that brings salvation appears unto all men. I want to make two calls in one. For the one who has never genuinely and truly consciously made Jesus Lord of your life. Perhaps you've been around church, perhaps you've even had church responsibilities. That's not what I'm asking you. The Bible says this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And he said, this life is to his Son, and that whosoever hath the Son hath life. Number two, I want to pray with those who, for whatever reason, your Christian experience has gone down. You know that this was not your way with God. For whatever reason, your life has gone haywire, and you are crying for that spiritual restoration. I'm going to count 1 to 5. I want you to very boldly leave your seat. Don't wait for anybody to do a job. Make your way to the first year in the name of Jesus. Let's celebrate them as they come. 1, 2. Don't sit back when the Holy Ghost is telling you to be here. 3. At the count of 5, I believe you pray. 4. Apostle, I'm a good person. I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Join them. You can be saved genuinely and have the assurance of salvation. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I salute every one of you, whether you're dedicating your life to Jesus or making an initial decision. May I lead you to pray this prayer with me, say, Lord Jesus, tonight I've heard your word. I believe in you that you are the Son of God. I receive your life into my spirit, and I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight till forever, I am your child. I walk in the newness of life, and I walk in your grace. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for this precious people. Some have come to rededicate their lives to begin a renewed commitment. Others are making this decision for the first time. In the name of Jesus, all the same, I pray that your hand will rest upon them. The anointing is coming on one of you in front here. I just saw that light. One of you in front. The anointing of the Spirit is coming on you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
The Lord is saying, weep not. This is what I'm hearing. I don't know what that means to you. Weep not. Weep not. That the cry has come to an end. This is what the Lord is saying. Weep not. The cry has come to an end. God is able to wipe the tears of all who cry. And he says, weep not. I decree and declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead that your sins are forgiven and the Lord gives you a new beginning from today. You go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Now, whether you are dedicating your life to Jesus for making a first-time decision, may I please request that if there's the one to follow, just have a word. They will sort you out. Those that are dedicating their lives to Jesus will allow you to return, and then those making the decision for the first time, you have this sincere that follows you up. But altogether, let me plead with you that you just follow the counselors in 1 minute. Let's celebrate them as a group. You have a lot of people. You will be happy. Praise the Lord. Now, one final assignment and then I'm done. I want to speak over this building and to speak over the NIS and then I'm done. Thank you for your patience. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. I want to speak over this building. I want us to read it together and then we'll wrap up. Ezra 6, 14. Is it possible to have it projected media? Please help us very quickly. Ezra 6:14. 6:14. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14. I want us to read as a prophetic word over this structure. Ezra 6:14. Hallelujah. While they are doing that, let me pray over everyone here who is an official and officer. Here you are traveling, whether it's this command, headquarters, or any other command. You are an immigration officer, any diplomatic agent, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, let the blessing of heaven rest upon you. As you serve us, as you serve this nation, in the name of Jesus, whether they're in Nigeria or any part of the world, wherever you are stationed and located, in the name of Jesus, we send you as light, we send you as salt, we declare that you will shine the light of Jesus Christ. You will not die while serving. I say it again, you will not die while serving. You will not die while serving. You will not be a victim of kidnapping. You will not be a victim of armed robbery. You will not be a victim of bloodshed. The Lord will preserve you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for the entire executives of the NIS, from the Controller General to all down the cadre, by reason of the church in this environment and in this place. Let the purposes of God for NIS stand. Every conspiracy of darkness be silenced once and for all. In the name of Jesus. Let's read Ezra 6:14. Ready? One to read. And the elders of the Jews yielded, and they prospered to the prophesy of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Edo, and they yielded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes. Now, it says that they yielded and they prospered, not just because of bricks and mortar, to the prophesy. In the name of Jesus, the hand that began this building will be alive when it is completed. You know where I'm praying this prayer? There was a curse upon Jericho that anybody who rebuilds Jericho will build it with the blood of his firstborn and finish it with the blood of his lastborn. I want to take away if there is any pronouncement of this prayer that has been made, that those who begin this work don't need to see it is hereby cancelled. In the name of Jesus. We call for supernatural resources. The same faith that was on Nehemiah the cupbearer that made the king to deliver the resources he needed to build the walls in Jerusalem. May that faith be released upon the Christians of Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ. And as you are building the house of God here, may God build your own house here.
testimony we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, come this time next year. In the name of Jesus, it will be a project that is already long finished. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed with being blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the continuous blessing that the Lord gives to your morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? What can we say to Apostle?